Good morning. Welcome. Glad you all made it out this morning. And why don't we open up in prayer? We'll let people get their seats. And let's ask Papa God to bless our time together. Thanks, Papa God, for all your many blessings. Thanks that you are the same God now as you were back thousands of years ago for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Mary, and all the others, that you were their God, and you are our God. And I pray that you would shoot down your Holy Spirit over this place today to fill each one of us up. Convict us where we need to be convicted, and encourage us where we need encouragement, and teach us where we need to be taught. And thanks for joining us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're gonna try. It might be a new one for some of you. You can stand up, and we'll try this song and sing along. You'll pick it up by the second verse if you don't know it. So. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. Now I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness.
I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd by the rages.
I need you now. standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness.
One more time.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. Well, I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your
so much for your faithfulness. That, you know, if he was constantly changing, and you know, if he was setting that bar at all different heights for us and constantly changing, how would we know? But he's the same God as he was. I like this song because I struggle with fear. This song reminds me that I don't have to. So, join with me.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. A deliverance from my enemies.
Yeah.
slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer the slave to fear. I am a child.
Thank you, Lord God, that we do not have to fear because you are there with us. All right. Thanks, everyone, for singing. Kids third grade and below are dismissed for children's church and nursery. And Evan has our question of the day.
So the question of the day is, do you think In God We Trust should still be on American currency? The question of trust should be on American currency. Nobody's paying attention. I don't think anybody's paying attention.
Out for a few minutes and
talk to each other. Very good. All right, everybody, back on your feet. We got a question of the day, which Evan tried to read to you, but you're all too loud. But I'm louder because Jay can turn me up. Do you think In God We Trust should still be on American currency? Share your answer. No, not to me, to each other. Why not? And the kids will be heading downstairs, and then we'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, I tried.
All right, everybody, settle down. First, I want to just mention, I don't know if you, most of you probably walked up that ramp to get in today. If you haven't been here before, yes, we have some hometown heroes who worked really hard on that this week. And so I won't point out everybody, but I will point out Gavin and Andy and Jake, because they were here the entire time. They gave vacation time. They gave up their time to just be here. And a bunch of other guys helped out too. But it was a lot of work to get that ramp replaced. It wasn't just the top boards. It was the whole thing. So you can walk up that ramp in confidence now. And not be afraid. We were singing about fear, right? We don't want your fear to be falling through the ramp. So thank you guys so much for all that work. It's not quite done, but it is done enough to use. So it might look different in the coming weeks, but it's really, really, really nice. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to talk about this thing. So how many of you say, yes, we should keep In God We Trust on American currency? All right, how many of you are bold enough to say, no, I don't think so? Okay, there's a 15% crowd. We're going to take them out and stone them. No, we're not going to. Do you guys carry cash?
Yeah.
If you carry cash, just take out a bill. Just a bill. Doesn't matter. The higher the denomination, the better, because we're going to pass around the offering. No, I'm just kidding. No, but if you carry cash, every single bill says, In God We Trust. On the back. Now, I want to do a little bit of trivia here for a second. When do you think "In God We Trust" was added to all U.S. paper currency? I got four options for you. You guys can pick A, B, C. It's a multiple choice. 1776, 1864, 1929, or 1957. How many of you say 1776? All right, we got two, three. How many of you say 1864? And everybody has to vote. Okay, this quadrant over here. All right, 1929. All right, now we got more of this quadrant. And 1957. Okay, guys, guess what? This was a surprise to me, too. 1957. Like, wait a minute, I thought we trusted God before that. No, it's 1957 is when that was added to the dollar bill. So most of you were surprised by that, right? I was too. I'm not so sure that it's really reflective of our culture anymore. Like, we could, yeah, I'd like for our culture to put their trust in God, but if you look around Kutztown today, maybe one out of three people are in a church service right now. Probably more like one out of five, one out of eight, one out of 10. Yeah, it's not that many. Like, is that really our culture today? Trusting God? So I'm not offended that it is on the dollar bill. It's not offensive to me. Like, I'm not using this money anymore. No. Hopefully that phrase still means something to us, right? But we're a shrinking minority. So forget about the masses and what everybody else thinks. What does that phrase mean to you when you say, "In God I trust"? When you say, "I trust God," what do you actually mean by that? What are you trusting Him for? What are you trusting Him to do? Are you trusting Him to catch you when you fall? Are you trusting Him to provide your every need? Are you trusting Him to direct your footsteps, to make you happy? What do you mean when you say, "I trust God"? And I want you to actually think about that and actually answer that question to somebody near you. Everybody's near somebody, so take 1 minute to answer that question with someone near you. What do you mean when you say, "I trust God"? And if you're here and you don't trust God, you're off the hook. You say, "You know what? I don't. I'm not sure I can trust God." Just say that, and that's okay. But where are you at with that statement? What do you mean? Go ahead. All right, time's up. Time's up. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. We're finally back to Genesis again. If you've been with us for a while, 6 weeks ago we were in Genesis 14. We took a little detour to think about what are some of God's promises throughout Scripture, like God's promise that He will be with us, that life's going to be hard sometimes, that He's going to work good in it even though life is hard. Like all these different things we talked about. And so we think about God's promises. Well, maybe trusting God means believing those promises. Maybe that's part of trusting God. But getting back to Genesis, we're unpacking Abraham's story. And hopefully you've heard of Abraham. He's a pretty famous dude in the book of Genesis. But Abraham's story, he's actually still called Abram at this point. God hasn't renamed him to Abraham yet. That's coming. But back in chapter 12, God initially called Abram to leave home and go to this strange place that would one day become the home of this great nation, the nation of Israel, right? So he told him to leave. And so little map here. He started in Ur, and then he headed up to Haran, and then down to Canaan. We're a little foggy today. It's a little fuzzy. I think they were having trouble with that last week too. But anyway, so down to Canaan, then to Egypt, then back to Canaan. And then if you remember in chapter 14, there was some trouble with his nephew. His nephew got basically ransacked and stolen and was held hostage, carried off back there. And Abram's like, well, this isn't going to happen, not on my watch. So he gathered this little militia, and they took off after him and gave this army of four kings and all their armies a whooping, like serious whooping. They sent them packing, and they rescued all the hostages, all the stuff, brought them back. And then after that, they said, well, Abram, you deserve a lot of the loot, a lot of the booty. He's like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. And instead, he made an offering to God. He gave it saying, God, you're the one that made this happen. You're the one that brought the victory. So he gives that to God, lets everyone else enjoy the spoils. And Abram is content with what he has. I don't need any more, except for one thing. He still doesn't have a child. He has no child. And that was a pretty big part of God's promise, to make him into a great nation. So let's look at Genesis 15. I'm going to read the first few verses. By the end of this morning, we'll finish this chapter. Genesis 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my own household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So this chapter starts off with God approaching Abram, saying the first words are, do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid. Why is Abram afraid? What happened in the last chapter? He gathered this militia and went after these four kings and their armies. He doesn't look very afraid in chapter 14. His fear doesn't have to do with what other people are doing, the threats that are around him. His fear is different. And we see what his fear is in the next verses. He says, you haven't given me a child. You made this great promise of a great nation, and I don't even have a kid yet. And this guy's no spring chicken. He's about 90 years old, maybe 91. Imagine having a baby at 91 years old. His fear doesn't have to do with other people or other threats. His fear is he's not going to have a child, that God's not going to keep his promise. Basically, you know, he says in verse 2, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is this other guy, not a family member. This is a servant in my household. What good is your reward, God, when I have nobody to leave it to? But notice how Abram addresses God. What does he call God in verse 2? O sovereign Lord. O sovereign Lord. Literally, that is Adonai Yahweh. Adonai Yahweh. Yahweh, whenever you see in the Old Testament, L-O-R-D in all capitals, that's Yahweh. That's the personal name of God. For me, I'm Nate. He's Yahweh. Okay? So, O sovereign Lord, Adonai Yahweh. Adonai is another word for Lord, but it's little letters. So it's more like sir, master, like a high respect. Master Yahweh. He's being very respectful in this, but he's still wrestling with, what are you doing? Where's my baby? Where's this nation going to come from? We're pretty old. He's struggling. Is God truly going to come through on his promise for me? And it reminds me of, there's a guy in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9 who struggles with something similar. He has a son who's been demon-possessed. And this is a violent possession. It's wrecking this boy, this little boy. And so this dad brings his son to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if you can do anything, please help us. And some of you are familiar with the story. Jesus says, if I can do anything, you see the Milky Way? Made that. Ramp project? Okay, Milky Way. God's big. God's big. If everything is possible to him who believes. And the man answered Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. I do believe, but I don't. I want it, but I'm struggling. And Abram is kind of doing the same thing here. He believes God, but at the same time, he's confused. How is God going to do this? I don't see it happening. So God confirms the promise again. Verse 4, he says, this man over here, that's not going to be your heir. There's going to be a son coming from your own body who will be your heir. He said, look up at the stars. See how many there are? Go ahead and count them. Start over on that side and work your way across. You ever tried to do that? You can do that at about 7 o'clock at night. 1, 2, 3. Okay, good. You go out at 2 a.m., you cannot count the stars. And back then, you know how much light pollution they had back then? There was a little campfire over here, one over there. They could see stars. They could see stars. Go ahead and count them, Abraham. Your offspring's going to be like that. And God says this to a 90-year-old man with no kids. Uncountable offspring. What are you talking about? Verse 6, and Abram believed. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. That's really hard to say. Credited it to him as righteousness. We're going to take some more time to talk about that phrase next week. But Abram believes God. He's still struggling, but he believes. And then God takes it another step further. Verse 7, he also said to him, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, remember the map, to give you this land to take possession of it. Not just am I going to give you a nation, I'm going to give you a land. This land, look around, Abram, this is all going to be yours. He's not the only people living there right now. But eventually, this land will fully belong to you and your descendants. Verse 8, Abram questions again. But Abram said, oh, sovereign Lord, there it is, Adonai Yahweh, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? And so this is another question. I mean, if I'm God, glad I'm not. But if I were, he should be rebuked at this point. Abram, trust me. But he doesn't do that. Instead, what he does, God does something very different. For the rest of this chapter, he's going to seal his promise. I mean it, Abram. And he's going to seal it in blood. Look at verse 9. So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, Abram, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. That's significant also. Keep reading. Verse 17, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. All these people still living in the land. I'm going to give you this land. So this is a really important scene for Abram, and it's a really strange scene to us. What is going on? What is he doing? But what God is doing, he's making a formal covenant right here, which is similar to what they would do back in those days. He's making his promise. He's taking it to the next level. Like, I'm really serious about this. He'd already made these promises. He's repeated the promise. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make you a blessing to everyone in the world. I'm going to bless everybody here. So now he makes it a covenant. And in those days, what they would do, not all the time, but this was a frequent thing, to make a covenant, a serious covenant. They'd take these animals, cow, sheep, goat, they'd cut it in half. But not like this, like this. Like, I don't know what they used to do that, but they cut these animals in half like this, and then they put the halves over here, and there's a space between. And those who are making the covenant, those who are partners in this covenant, they would walk solemnly, ceremoniously through these animal pieces. And this is saying, okay, here's my part of the covenant, and here's your part of the covenant. If I break my part of the covenant, you can do to me what we did to these animals. Cut me down the middle. Like, serious. This is serious. That was how they did covenants in those days. If I break my word, cut me in half and leave me for dead. And if you want to see an example of this between people, you can look up Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah 34, do that on your own time if you want. But this is intense, and this is how they would do it. But this scene, Genesis 15, between Abram and God is different. What's different about it? You notice? It is not the same. Look at verse 12. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When this covenant is being made, Abram is passed out. He's in a sleep. He may be in a trance-like thing because he's sort of aware, but he's not an active participant here. Verse 17, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. This represents God. The smoking fire pot and a blazing torch. This represents the presence of God. And God is the only one who passes through the pieces. It's not how they did covenants back then. This is significant. This is a one-sided covenant. God is making it crystal clear. This is me. This is what I'm going to do. You can't stop me. You can't change it. There's nothing you can do for me to not keep this promise to you. I'm going to do this. You have no power to break it. Abram can't break this covenant because he didn't make it. And this is God's character. This is God's heart for people. That he knows if we had passed through the pieces, if Abram had passed through the pieces, the covenant would have been broken early, early, early. And if we had that kind of arrangement, God, I'll do this and you do that. Oh, man. We would all break the covenant. So this is the character of God, the heart of God for us. I'm passing through this and it's on me. And I'm going to keep this covenant. And basically he's saying, if I break my covenant, you cut me in half. As if Abram or any of us could do that. But that's how serious he is. Nobody can wreck this covenant. God is absolutely committed to blessing Abram and blessing all people on earth through this promise that goes all the way through the Bible. And God's promise, God's commitment is unstoppable. It is unstoppable. God is going to make Abram into a great nation. There's going to be some struggle. We read that. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be a period of slavery. It's going to be rough. But God is going to give this nation this land eventually. And if he breaks his covenant, you cut me in half. So God is, and they understood how covenants worked back then. Abram got it. He understood this. You and I don't do covenants like this anymore. We have lawyers and we have papers and contracts and fine print. This is, no, they got animals chopped in half and blood everywhere. But because God takes his promise and brings it to this level, Abram can say, in God I trust. He will keep his promise. So going back to the beginning of the chapter, chapter 15, verse 1, this period of Abram's life, what's going on in his world? If we could ask Abram that question, when you say, I trust God, what are you talking about? What do you mean? What is that thing that you really need to trust God about? And it's hard. That hard thing that I need to trust God with. We don't have to guess for Abram because he answers it. The very next verse, verse 2, I need a child. Where's my child? Where's my son? Where's the one who's going to be part of this promise? For Abram, his one thing, his main thing, I need an heir. I want a child so I can pass all these blessings on to somebody from my family. That's essential to the promise. And he's in his 90s and he's supposed to have a child. His wife's in her 80s. This is hard for them to believe. How many nursing homes do you know that keep a stash of pregnancy tests? There's not much call for that at a nursing home. 80-year-old women didn't have babies back then either. They're having trouble with this. So for Abram, the number one thing he wanted was a child. God, I'm going to trust you for a child. Help me in my unbelief. So now think about your own life. What's that one thing that you need to trust God with that's really hard? But you know you need to trust him. Maybe it's a material thing. Maybe you got some material needs that you're in a tough situation, or maybe you just like you want to reach this standard of living. You want to have a house like this with a yard like that and a driveway you can park your car and space between the neighbors and you got enough money to provide this and this and that for your kids and your grandkids. You just want to have enough. And you worry about money. Maybe it's relational, that one thing. God, I need to trust you to give me a spouse. I just want to get married someday. God, would you do that? Or maybe I need you to heal my family. There's something broken in my family. Or maybe you're younger. Just give me a boyfriend who's nice to me. Or a girlfriend. Or a friend. Maybe your one thing is emotional. God, would you bring me out of this depression, this anxiety that's just got me in a gridlock, and God, would you, there's emotional things that catch us and drag us down. Some of you, you've gone through some hard things. You've lost a spouse. You've lost a child. Like, there's some hard things. God, I'm trusting you to heal this deep pain, this loss that I feel every single day. I'm trusting you to bring happiness back into my life. What is it? When you think, I need to trust God, but it's hard. Every one of us is different. The big one for me, I want all my children to choose to follow Jesus. And I can't help the fact that my kids are PKs. You know what a PK is? It's a pastor's kid. All my kids are PKs. I can't help that. And I have seen a lot of PKs turn completely away from God. There's some really well-known, famous Christians who are super successful and super popular, wrote all these books and stuff, and some of their kids went off the rails. And as a kid, I was a PK, and I grew up, I got to know some other PKs, and some of those PKs were going the wrong way. So I have this, like, deep fear that one, two, or more of my kids are gonna leave the house and be like, yeah, I don't want any of that. That's a fear of mine. That's one thing that I want God to do. I don't have control of that. I can't control that. I need to not try to control that because that might go the opposite direction if I do. right? I can't decide for my kids. And that matters a lot to me. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want my kids to know Jesus for real. Not just I come to church because I'm a PK. So that's my one thing. What is your one thing? What do you trust in? What are you needing to trust God to do in your life? What do you need most from Him? But it's hard. Genesis 15:1. God says to Abram, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. What if you were to take that? How many of you could be honest enough to say, I do have a one thing in my head? Some of you are just drifting along like, I don't have a one thing. I'm just like, whatever. Are you almost done yet? How many of you would be honest and say, I have a one thing. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what it is. Just tell me if you're with me. Okay. So there's like 12 of you who have a one thing. Some of you still need to think about it, but you do have a one thing. You just haven't thought of it yet. What if God's words here to Abram were actually for you? Do not be afraid, Ray. I am your shield and your very great reward. What if you were to take that one thing? For me, it's my four kids. Three are out of the house right now and one's still at home. And I want to take that and say, okay, God, I'm going to put that over here. I'm going to let you be my great reward. I'm going to let you be my one thing. What if you did that? Am I taking this out of context? Is that not actually? God spoke this to Abram. He didn't speak it to us. So some of you Bible scholars are like, no, don't even. Is this God's heart for us? I had to think about that for a little bit. Are there other places in the Bible where we'd see God's heart for us is, I am your shield. I am your great reward. And I didn't think too long. I thought of John 3:16. And I think there's some slides I missed, which I do every week. Like, come every Sunday and see which slides I missed. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Here we go. The most famous verse in all the Bible, right? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, that's the shield, but will have eternal life with God, that's the reward. Amen. So from the most popular verse in all the Bible, we could probably do a home group assignment, find other scriptures that show God's heart for us is what his heart was for Abram. Don't be afraid. I am your shield, and I am your very great reward. For every follower of Jesus, and maybe you're not a follower of Jesus yet, that's okay. We're going to try to get you to be one. But if you are a follower of Jesus, God himself is our greatest treasure.
Amen.
Thank you. A big part of our journey, our spiritual journey, is growing to the point where we believe that. God will never be your ultimate reward until you're able to let go of your one thing. You have to put that aside. My one thing, I want to see all my kids follow Jesus. Right into adulthood when they don't have to anymore. Is that a bad thing? I don't think so. That's not a bad thing. But God says, I am your shield. I am your great reward. So can I let go of that? That fear? Can I let go? I need that. Like, can I give that to him? That's not easy. Can I trust God with my kids? I have to. Is God your shield? Is he your shield? Is he your reward? Those two things are so significant in our walk with God. Think about that shield. The shield represents protection, right? God himself is our shield. Is that true? We spent a whole Sunday a couple weeks ago talking about that. And we brought up the whole Charlie Kirk thing, right? We talked about that. Was God his shield when he was gunned down? He was. It's scratching your head. It's okay. You can scratch your head about that. But he was. And go back a couple weeks ago, listen to that sermon. But I listened to his wife, Erica, speak at his memorial service. And I never really knew a lot about the Kirks. They're not the new world hero, right? Okay, but when she spoke at his memorial service, I tell you what, her words pointed to Jesus. And there's a whole lot of debate about these people, and we know they're not perfect people by any stretch, but they talked about Jesus. They pointed people to Jesus. And from what I can see, I'm no judge of hearts, but from what I can see, their trust is in God. And I will tell you, if their trust is in God, he has not let them down. God right now is sustaining Erica in her grief, and the world is watching. God is our shield, even when horrible things happen. Because he's my shield, he's going to carry all the way safely home into his presence. That's the shield that we need most. I don't need life to go a certain way for God to be my shield. He doesn't unbe my shield because he let me down. The sovereign Lord has a better plan than I do. So I'll ask you again, can you let go of that one thing you desperately want from God? Can you set that aside? Even if it's something really, really good? I mean, I just want peace in my family. I want this relationship restored. I just want to know my kids are going to trust and follow Jesus. We've got a baby dedication today in a few minutes. Good thing. We don't know where Lainey's going to go down the road, but we're going to do our best to lead her down the right path. Right? Can you give that one thing to God? Like right now? You don't have to come up to the front, but you got a one thing. I challenge you, put it over. You can do that with God. Like even while I'm talking, you just tune me out and start talking to God. I give you permission. You don't need my permission to tune out, do you? It just happens sometimes. God is our shield. He's our very great reward. So we could misunderstand the shield thing. We could misunderstand the reward thing too. So don't misunderstand. God is not promising Abraham some really great treasure. Follow me to the end. There's this treasure chest filled with gold and gems and jewels. No. What does he say? I am your shield. I am your great reward. What if God himself really actually was our greatest treasure? What if our daydreaming most often drifted off to thoughts about our love life with God? If that's where you daydreamed, what if we got more emotional and more excited thinking about God than we get watching the Philadelphia Eagles block two field goals in the same quarter to win the game? Woo! More emotional about him. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you're somewhere in the process where God is becoming more the treasure than the treasure giver. And maybe you're still at the very beginning of that journey. You're like, what are you talking about? Maybe you're further along, but that's our destination. That's where we're headed. He is the treasure. And I don't intend to be callous right here, but you really don't need that thing that you think you need. And maybe we could argue about it because I don't even know what your thing is. And it might be a really good thing. You might ask, well, why wouldn't God want me to have that? Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait a really, really, really long time. Right? But sometimes he does that. Sometimes he does that. Not always, but sometimes he does that because he wants to help you get to the place where he himself is your treasure. That's hard. But he wants to be your treasure even more than that really good thing is, because he is. He is. And I thought about, okay, like, I've treasured a lot of things in my life. from my childhood to today. And my treasure, the things that I treasure have changed so many times. I'm a kid, like 12 years old, and my treasure was trout fishing on the stream behind my house and coming home with some trout on the stringer, like carrying that thing with pride, like, look what I got. That was my treasure. And then I got to be a little bit older, and I started daydreaming about moving out of the house, living on my own, having unrestricted access to porn. I'm thankful God never answered that one. I am thankful that he did not give me that desire, that answer. Very thankful. Then my desires changed to money. I don't want to be a broke pastor's kid anymore. I want money. I want to have things. And then I was like, man, I want to get married. And I would pray, Jesus, don't come back until I get married. I want to experience that. And then I get married and I'm like, oh, Jesus, don't come back until I got some kids. I want to experience that. Can you, Jesus, don't come back? That means he's not my treasure. Jesus, come back. He's the treasure. As a pastor, my treasure is one. I want people to like me. Good sermon, Pastor. That really made me think. Oh, that's so good. I want to be perceived as successful. You ever heard of Pastor Nate? Oh, yeah, great pastor. I want to see lives changed by the power of God. Amen. And I want to see my kids decide to follow Jesus on their own. How many of those things are bad? There was definitely one back there. Definitely, if you're confused, there's definitely one back there. But God has taken me to this place where what I really want, more than any of that, is to know Christ. Just to know him. He's the treasure. And you think about that offer. God says, I want to be your treasure. What an offer. The one who made the Milky Way? You want to be my treasure? That's foreign to a lot of us, but that's the offer. So my desires are changing. And I look around, I'm getting to know you guys, and some of you are newer and some of you are not as new, and it's been really cool to watch God shifting your desires too. Like, we're on this journey. And some of the things that you wanted in the past, you don't want anymore. And God is moving you toward more and more. He's not just the treasure giver. He's the treasure. And it's really cool to see God doing that in us here. Abram wanted a child. Not a bad thing. A good thing. And God did finally give Abram that child that he wanted. But he also made sure that child was not his ultimate treasure. And this is foreshadowing, but you can check out Genesis 22 for that story. There was a test beyond all tests. Crazy. But that child could not be the treasure. So what's your honest response to the idea of God being your shield and your very great reward? Don't say it out loud. But see, think about it. God wants to be your reward. And if you recall, God doesn't make half-hearted offers. He cuts animals in half, says, cut me in half if I don't keep it. Like, he is serious. So right now, are you ready to take another step toward God? You're not just the treasure giver, you're the treasure. Are you ready to take another step in that direction? Because that's the journey we're on. I'm going to trust you to be my shield. And I'm going to desire you to be the reward. Personally, I don't really care if we remove "in God we trust" from our currency. I don't really care. I don't see that as where our country is, our nation as a whole anyway. But what I want to see is that God's people who call Jesus their Lord and their Savior, that every one of us is trusting God as our shield and him and desiring him as our greatest treasure. Because when that's our heart, people like that change the world for the glory of God. One wandering soul at a time. We change the world. God changes the world through us. I was in my office at Solo Labs this week, early in the week, with an employee who was just going through some hard stuff. just really struggling. She had called me on Sunday, like, let's talk on Monday. So she's in my office, and just family drama and conflict. And you guys know what it is. You know what it's like. And sometimes it's really hard and really painful. And it felt like just everything was getting taken away from her. And I'm listening and hearing her story. And I know this person. She's been an employee at Solo a long time. And I'm hearing and listening. And then I'm sharing the gospel with her. God wants to be your stability right now. All your stability is being taken away, but He wants to be that. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your shield and your reward. And I desperately wanted to help her understand God's heart for her, but I could not make her believe. I could not force that treasure into her hand and into her heart. I can't do that. I don't have that power. So I listened the best I could, and I shared the best I could, and from there, I had to leave that in God's hands. But I want everybody that I know to have this treasure. So where are you in your journey with God? Hey, look, I had another picture. Is God your shield? Is He your great reward? Just take a minute right now to think about this question. Where are you in your journey from seeing God as the treasure giver to being the treasure itself? And there's no shame if you're early in the journey. You're on the journey. And He wants to help you take another step. But where are you at in that journey? Think about that. Process that. And maybe there's some kind of a next step God is calling you to take in that direction. Pray together. God, thank You for Your patience with us. You know so much more than we do. We're learning. We start at zero, and we learn as we go, and we grow, and we understand, and sometimes we go the wrong way, sometimes we go the right way. But God, You're showing us the way. You are the treasure, and our hearts are torn. We're in conflict about that because we want other treasure. So God, give us an awareness of what our desires are and help us to see and believe that You are the greatest treasure. That our hearts towards You would be the same as Your heart toward us. God, give us understanding and help us to walk in that. Take another step closer. Another step closer. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can stand with me as we sing this last song. Nate had told me his sermon was going to be about God's unconditional promises, and So I did a very scientific and very spiritual search for the word promise in all my worship songs, and this one popped out. The chorus says, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. And so let's think about that this morning as we're singing.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Thank you, Lord God, for being our promise keeper. Let's get a baby dedicated. You may sit down.
All right. So, yeah, we have a really fun thing to do right now. You guys can come on up. We've got Gavin and Ashley and Lainey Ann. They would like to dedicate their child to God. And so some of you, maybe, I don't know if you've been part of a baby dedication, but this is not a baby baptism. We don't have water here. This is more a commitment of the parents to raise their child to love and follow Jesus. As I said before, like, we can't control that, right? We can just do what we can do. Hey, Lainey. Hi. So I just want to remind you guys, there's a couple scriptures. One is in Proverbs 22, and it tells us, you train a child in the way she should go, and when she's old, she will not depart from it. So that is wisdom. That's not actually a promise. It's not a guarantee, but it's wisdom from God. If we raise them right, if we lead them to Jesus, and we're the example, it's not just like, do as I say, right? Right, Gavin? Mm-hmm. It's not just do as I say. I don't have to say that to Ashley, just Gavin. but this is a commitment to raise their child in a home that loves and follows Jesus. And in the Old Testament, this is in Deuteronomy. This has been important for a really long time. This goes back to the original, the Jewish people. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a really important passage. It says, this is one of the most important passages for all the Jewish people. It's called the Shema. And then it says a few things after that. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So it's saying that basically it's telling us that passing down the truth to the next generation is not the job of the church, it's not the job of the pastor, it's the job of the parent. God set this up that the parents teach their kids. The parents train their kids. They don't just bring them to church. But you're talking about it when you're sitting at home, when you're walking along, when you're on a hike, when you're on a fishing trip, when you're going to the store, when you're taking them to school. Like, God is on our lips because he's in our life. And so this is a commitment that Gavin and Ashley want to raise their children. They have two other ones. Why don't you guys come on up here too? Come on up. Come on up. This is a family thing, right? You guys are part of this too, right? And the reason we do this publicly is because this is also something that we as a church want to join them in. We want to support them in, right? So as a church, we want to help. We want to be a support. We've got classes, but we've got people who also love Jesus. And one of the best things about Cornerstone for my kids has been some of the young adults or even middle adults who befriend and mentor and come alongside. So that's a beautiful thing, especially maybe in a smaller church where maybe that's more likely to happen. So hopefully as you guys continue here, then you're going to get to know some of the older people in the church and you're going to have other heroes. Some of these people you don't even know, and 5 years down the road, they're going to be heroes for you. But we want to support you in this, and I appreciate your desire and your desire to do this. This isn't just, we want to be Christians on Sunday, but he's our treasure. He's our treasure. So I practiced holding her earlier, and she did not scream or cry. She's really chill. So I just want to pray, And we also have, this is a very solemn, it's not quite like the covenant we talked about today. We're not cutting any animals in half. But there's a certificate that we each, the three of us, will sign as making this official. But I want to pray for Lainey. She's young, but if the Lord tarries, she will grow up, and she will grow up in this world. And it's a rough place to grow up. But we have support, right? And God is with us, and we are with each other. So let's pray. God, thank you that we are not alone. You are with us. You are in us. And I thank you for the Kurz family. I thank you for bringing them here, for the way they have blessed us. And I pray that we can be as much a blessing to them. God, I thank you for Lainey, bringing her into this world and delivering this beautiful package to Gavin and Ashley. And we pray for her as she grows up. I pray that you protect her from harm. I pray that you protect her from some of the destructive influences that the enemy is out there, and it's a brutal world. So Lord, protect her. Keep her safe. And as they raise her to know you, and as she watches them, watches a family that's following after you, God, that she would want that too. And at some point down the road, she'll recognize, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. He's somebody I want to put my trust in. So, Lord, we dedicate her this morning in front of everyone here. Thank you that she's not crying. And I thank you for what you're going to make her to be. Thank you for all that's already in her. Her personality's in there already. And she's a beautiful child. And I pray that one day in the near future, she'll put her trust in you and become a child of God. So give Gavin and Ashley, Hunter and Kelsey, give them wisdom to know how to do that, to navigate this world. Help Gavin to be faithful to you. Help him to live in a way that he loves his family, that he doesn't exasperate his kids, as you say in your word, and that Ashley would just be a anchor and a rock for her family and her children, and that together the two of them will raise their family in a beautiful way, and that each of the kids on their own will decide that they want to follow and trust you with their whole lives. So Lord, our commitment is to you, and we are committed together. So I thank you for this church family that we can do this together. And so in Jesus' name, we lift up all these things. Amen. Look at that. Yeah. So as part of the process, this is a dedication. We, Gavin and Ashley Kurz, commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of Lainey Ann Kurz, entering into this commitment at Cornerstone Community Church as part of the congregational worship on September 28, 2025. Sign, and I will sign. And I shall return her to you. Thank you. And all right. It's official. Here you go.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we clap for you. All right, guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. All right. She wanted it to last a little bit longer. Thank you guys for being here for that, to stay with us for that. This is the end of our service. We got a couple of announcements. I think there's some slides for announcements. If you guys are new here, some of you are new, you came for the dedication, or you're just here and you've never been here before. If you got a program on your way in, there's a little tear-off thing. We'd love for you to fill that out just so we can get to know you and you can share with us how we can serve you. There's a thing on the back for prayer requests. If you want us to pray for you, we got a prayer team that will pray for any prayer requests that come in. So if you want to fill that out, we'd love for that. And there's an offering box right in the back underneath the clock, and you can just drop that in there. We'd love to be able to know you and serve you and come alongside. We got a couple things going on. What's the next slide? Home groups. Big part of what we do. It's the other thing we do outside of Sundays, kind of. Home groups and Oasis Youth Center. So if you're not part of a home group yet, jump into one. There's three Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. Talk to me. Talk to someone near you if you want to jump into that and just get to know each other on a more personal level. And then the next slide, we got our annual family meeting October 12th. So stick around, plan on an extra hour or so after the service to celebrate what God's been up to and to just look at what's going forward. Our year starts in October, so we'll approve the budget and members. We really hope members will be there, but if you're not a member, just want to hear what's going on, it's a really exciting church meeting. So come out for it. It'll be great. So thank you guys for being here today. I hope you have a fantastic day. There are snacks, refreshments downstairs. Stick around as long as you want, and I hope you have a fantastic day.